Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 107 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. That means there's a chill in the air, Labor Day is behind us, and this is Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
What's up, you big old slut?
Hey, man, how's it going?
That's going good.
Okay, glad to hear it. And also, Mr. Bradford is here. Brad.
Dog movie.
Oh, hang on. I don't have a can tonight. I have a bottle. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's any port in a storm, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's rip that Band-Aid off now. Can check. Guys, what are you working with tonight?
I have a New Realm Hazy Like an Ox. Hazy Double IPA. Ooh. It's really good. I like it a lot. What about you? Is it a summer shandy?
No, I was going to ask Jonathan what his is, what he's working with tonight.
I have some champagne.
Ooh, fancy lad.
What kind champagne? The champagne of champagne or the champagne of beers?
I mean, there are other words out the can than just champagne, but yeah.
Okay. I think I got it right. Anyway, I am drinking a Highland Brewing seasonal. It's a Clawhammer Oktoberfest because, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of year again.
Damn, you switched hard.
About that time.
Yeah, I mean, I was all ready to make fun of the whole Burr Months thing, but literally, like, one day into September, and it just dropped 20 degrees, and I don't know, man. I'm kind of into it.
It's weather.
I mean, it's almost bearable.
Yeah, that oppressive summer humidity is just evaporated. I mean, so, yeah, tonight, friends, we have to do kind of double duty on this episode because we really double dog duty because we really need to take a mulligan on that whole dog movie thing. Because last week's episode, whoo boy, we did not get what we asked for.
Rest assured, there are dogs in this one.
There is a verifiable dog.
Central to the plot.
Yes, and he is a very good boy.
He is a very, very good boy. And then there are also... There's about, what would you say? There's about five times as many dogs total in this movie as in the last one we watched. Because there were, three dogs in the last movie we watched?
I'm still going to complain about the about hour stretch where they just forgot that the dog was in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's not so much that they forgot, it's just he wasn't in the movie. And the whole plot revolves around getting the dog back. So it's not like they forgot.
They forgot to film the dog. Where's Poochie?
Exactly.
They did forget the whole subplot about his medicine, though.
Look, they needed more time for, like, Beer Girl and, like, CGI monsters and also probably someone's kids. I think that's why they were in the movie.
Yeah. Look, all these favors I called in aren't going to pay themselves off, okay? Also tonight, we do have to pay our respects to the late, great Ed Asner, who recently passed away last week. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, it's kind of hard to be sad because he was one of the greats, but he lived to the ripe old age of 91. He
had a good run.
He was a trooper. He was a real trooper. And he, looking at his IMDb page, he apparently said no to absolutely nothing.
Pays the bills, keeps you in the Academy voting, you know?
Exactly. What are you gonna do? Yeah, exactly. I mean, do not shed a tear for Ed Asner. He was one of the good ones, and he had a good long life. He brought us such thrills as Elf and Christmas Vacation 2 and Home Alone 5. And hey, guess what? We have a new inductee into the Formula One Club. It's Ed Asner. Because he once again plays Santa Claus in this film, tonight's film, Santa Stole Our Dog, A Merry Doggone Christmas.
There's a bit of an arc to those movies that you just listed, isn't there?
A general downward trajectory, yes.
Yes. Bless him.
If you know him from, if you're an old person and you know him from the Mary Tyler Moore Show or the Lou Grant Show, that's great. If you're a younger person and you remember him from Elf, that's also great. And then also there's just, you know, cartoons all the way down. He did voices in everything from Freakazoid to the Spider-Man cartoon series to Disney Pixar's Up, everywhere. Ed Asner is a huge talent. So
I forgot that's what I was gonna say as my intro line. I was gonna do a Cosgrove quote and I totally forgot.
Oh, Brad.
Oh well.
I mean,
insert your favorite Cosgrove quote here.
Hey Freakazoid, wanna go see a bear ride a motorcycle?
Hey Freakazoid, wanna go to the Honey Harvest Festival?
So help me out here. I might be derealizing. It's happened 3 times before. Was Eric Roberts in this movie?
Yes, he was.
He's not credited. I wonder why. Maybe IMDb doesn't know he's in the movie. All right, so what's Eric Roberts standing at right now? Karate Christmas Miracle.
Yeah.
And this movie. Do we want to count this movie? Because he's not credited, but it's literally him.
I'm counting it because it's definitely 100% him.
I'll come back. I'm looking at this right now. Let's move on. If I come back to it, I will interrupt and completely change the subject with it.
But yeah, welcome to the Formula One Club, Ed Asner. I'm sure there are more films out there. Actually, I know this for a stone cold fact. There's more films out there and TV shows where he plays Santa Claus. So if you wanted to build an entire cinematic universe out of the Ed Asner Clausverse, you definitely could.
It's just a shame. I doubt he was on Cameo, but I really would have liked to get a cameo inducing him into the Formula One Club.
Oh man, that would have been fantastic.
And I would have paid through the teeth for it, too.
Let's get Eric Roberts to do a cameo welcoming Ed Asner to the Formula One Club.
How much would that cost us?
Judging from Eric Roberts' filmography, $30.
It would cost us $105.
Hmm.
So how much is that worth to you? But no, for real, 100% for real, tonight's movie, Santa Stole Our Dog, A Merry Doggone Christmas. And I have to say, given the last 2 or 3 films we've watched, this is 100% the best thing we've watched all summer.
There were 2 genuine good jokes in it.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
You're just as shocked as we are.
Yes.
Or we're just as shocked as you are, I should say.
I shouldn't say best thing we've watched all summer because we did watch a Muppet thing, and that definitely counts.
Other than that, though.
Other than definitely. That's an outlier. But yeah, do you guys realize we haven't watched an actual, like, real movie in, like, 6 months on this show?
Should have.
Define actual real movie.
The Silent Partner?
Yeah, that was the last... I mean, the ski movie, whatever it was called. Let It Snow was kind of a real movie. I guess the second Let It Snow was also kind of a real movie in that it was on celluloid and was filmed before or screened before people. I don't know.
Yeah, it beats me. All I'm really trying to say is that, like, we've gone down a really weird rabbit hole in the last 6 months where we just decided to dig up as much shit as we could find.
It's been a really rough patch, let me tell you.
But I hope you've enjoyed listening to it because we do this out of the goodness of our hearts for you, the listener.
God, The Silent Partner is so good. I want to go back and watch it again.
I do it because Joe gets mad at me when I don't.
This is true.
I just do it to keep up with my friends. Honestly.
Well, that makes me feel like an ass.
I do it because I literally don't know what else to do with my life.
It's a noble cause.
All right. We could get some spray paint and some paper bags and just see what happens.
Please, we're not even out of the summer yet. Give me some time. Okay, so because this movie actually does feature dogs and I'm feeling generous, I do want to do our 60-second challenge this week.
Oh, no.
And I will donate money to a local SPCA because that seems appropriate. Jonathan?
What?
Would you do this the honor?
Oh, thank God.
Okay.
I don't want to do it.
For the uninitiated, what we like to do here on Christmas Creeps sometimes is we'll give one of our panelists 60 seconds to explain the plot of this week's film. If they can do it in under 60 seconds, whatever time is left on the clock, we will donate that dollar amount to a charity of our choosing. And like I said, because this is a film that heavily features dogs, I think it's only appropriate that we donate to, you know, a local SPCA. And we'll put that up on Twitter so y'all can see how good we are after the fact. But J-Man, are you ready to rock and roll?
Yeah.
Okie doke. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
There's a split family. They adopt a dog. Santa accidentally steals the dog. They go back to North Pole to get the dog back, but Santa takes it back anyway. The end.
I don't even know why I ask you to do this, because I know you do this every time.
I am looking out for the dogs. I'm making sure they get as much of your money as I can get them.
Aww.
Well, you did it in 6 seconds, so $54 is going to a local SPCA. Congratulations, dogs out there.
He got the broad strokes of it.
I'm making an argument that literally nothing in this movie matters.
Does anything matter? Ever?
I mean, in the end, they do some stuff that basically shames Santa into bringing the dog back, and they go to the North Pole anyway, and then Santa brings the dog back, and so they just hang out at the North Pole for a while, not giving their dog his fucking medicine, and then they go home, and the dog's there at home already.
Yeah, no, yeah. And you're not wrong. You're 100% not wrong. But that's what we can get into here, because it's just... Yeah, the whole plot is in the title. Santa stole our dog. And if you don't remember it, it's repeated about 6,000 times.
I was very tempted to just say Santa stole our dog. That's it.
I mean, the low-hanging fruit was right there. And I guess I applaud you for not taking it. So...
I want to talk about the title, actually.
Okay.
This seems like a case where they couldn't agree on what the title was. So they had to, split the baby and use both titles.
Okay.
Cause I'm pretty sure someone wanted this to be Santa Stole Our Dog. Someone else wanted it to be Merry Dog on Christmas. And they just couldn't. Nobody won the argument, so they just gave up and compromised anything neither of them liked.
Which do you think is the better title?
Oh, Santa Stole Our Dog, 100%.
Absolutely. Yes. It's more of a... The other one's nothing.
A Merry Dog on Christmas sounds like it was invented by whoever named last week's movie 12 Christmas Wishes for My Dog.
Yes.
It's just the blandest, most generic, it's a fun pun. There's a dog and word in the name, so hey, whatever. But no, Santa Stole Our Dog. This is the Snakes on a Plane of Christmas movies.
Yes.
It delivers exactly what the title says, and arguably more. Because, look, we have watched on this show, at this point, several Christmas movies that notionally are not real movies, and this is one of them, but this one tries harder than most
to be a movie,
to pretend to be a movie.
And yeah,
I have to give them credit for that.
It seems like a lot of it is a showcase for just whoever owed the director a favor, the director, writer, one of the stars of, producer, caterer, you know, the usual drill.
Yeah.
And one guy's name appears 7 times in the credits.
In this case, Brian Michael Stoller, who directed, wrote, produced, was the cinematographer, film editor, and...
played the mailman.
And I'm almost 100% certain the dog in this film, Rusty, is in fact his dog.
It's a good dog.
Because Rusty, the dog's real name is Little Bear. And Little Bear appears in basically everything this guy has produced. Up to and including a film titled First Dog, which I have to assume is, a foster boy is befriended by a lost dog who turns out to belong to the President of the United States.
And guess who the president's played by? Go on, guess.
Is it Eric Roberts?
It just might be.
I'm looking at the poster here on IMDb. I 100% actually love that the tagline for the movie First Dog is, "In Dog We Trust."
Can we watch this movie for July at Christmas?
You know what? I'm down. That sounds like a good idea. Because really, Little Bear, aka Rusty, is a very good boy. And throughout this entire movie, it's just kind of one of the little pleasures is just seeing the dog react to whatever's going on.
It's a cute dog. It's a good dog.
He's a very specific breed, too. One that I actually was not familiar with.
Kai Ken, was it?
Yeah, he's they keep calling him a rare Kai Ken, a Japanese Tora dog. But Rusty is barely a character. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. As good of a dog as he is, he's really not a character in this film at all.
No, he spends way too much time not in the movie. Yeah. I was expecting him to do a little more dog acting. I mean, not that he's a bad dog actor, but the script doesn't give him much to do.
No, he sits around the North Pole pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Partying. He eats a pizza with candy on it at one point.
Oh, God, yeah.
In an absolute, like, fever dream of a scene.
Yeah, like...
Oh, we're gonna get to the North Pole and the elves, because there's... Oh, just hang on. We'll... Just wait.
I love how Little Bear is credited as a Foley artist on one of these movies. That's a good joke.
There's a couple of jokes in the credits of this movie. Like, there's, like, best boy, and then it says, like, worst boy or bad boy, and it's the voice actor for Mr. Dodo again, for whatever reason.
Aw.
That's fun.
I didn't catch that. I did not stick around through the credits.
I like it when people have fun with the credits.
Yeah, there was a good joke in the credits. The character Elroy, whoever was called Leroy, was credited as both Elroy and Leroy. That's a good joke.
Ah.
Oh, good for him. I will say before we get started, there are only a couple of ways you can watch this film with us if you want to watch along. You can pay $4 to rent it pretty much anywhere, or you can pay $2 to Redbox it, which is what we did.
Happy Redboxing Day, everybody.
Happy, much belated Redboxing Day, everybody.
4 years belated. I'm convinced that these just sit in red boxes. I looked it up. The nearest ones were all, like, in the next city over, and they were everywhere.
So I was the one who actually went and picked this up for us to watch.
Bless your heart.
When I went to the red box and, like, typed it out, like, looked it up, it had the little icon on it that said, back again.
Look, check out this piece of shit we've dredged up yet again.
So at some point they took it out, and then at some point they brought it back.
Oh, thank God. Oh.
Or I mean, like, Redbox cycled it out of their system for a while, and then at some point they said, well, the time is right. The demand is there. Santa stole our dogs. Gotta come back.
Can we just assume that they put it in at some point during the Christmas season last year, or maybe even possibly a couple of years ago, and have forgotten to take it out of their system, because that's probably the state of Redbox now?
That is the most likely answer. The answer I'm going to go with is that there is some other local Christmas podcast out there who just did an episode on this. And if you are out there, I will find you and I will get you.
We're coming for you. I just to speak of Redbox for a moment. I think it does still have a lot of cachet and utility in places where the internet is just so bad that there's no other option.
Like one's grandma's house?
Well, yeah, or a couple of... Well, this was probably 2 years ago now, what with the whole before times. I was on business travel in a place in our wide country that did not have... It was sort of rural. And in the hotel lobby...
You could just say Wyoming, man.
It wasn't Wyoming, but it's similar to Wyoming. Yeah, let's just say it was Wyoming. In the lobby of the hotel, they had like a whole AirSats red box setup where it was like a vending machine where you could rent movies, and then they had DVD players in each of the hotel rooms, which is what, you know, the system
I was hoping
there'd
be a DVD player vending machine like at the airport.
Yeah, they used to do that too, huh?
Yeah, it's like at the airport, it's like, oh, sure, I'll spend $300 and get an iPod Touch out of this fucking vending machine. Why not?
Yeah.
No, this is like singles for an hour and a half.
Best Buy to go, or maybe.
This was a very like 2006 to 2008 phenomena, I feel like. A lot of hotels had that sort of situation.
Yeah, the real height of like DVD as a format.
Yes. Speaking of which, recently when I was visiting my sister, I drove by an abandoned building, and it was a place called DVDs to Go, and it was like a drive-through DVD rental kiosk.
Oh my God.
And it's still sitting there. I have a photo of it. I will, I'll share it with you all. I'll try to scrub it of the EXIF data, and maybe we can put it in the show notes.
So you're just like, what if Redbox had human interaction?
Pretty much. Actually, I can probably just find it on Google Street View. But anyhow, and then people can dox where my sister lives. Who cares?
I'm wondering now if there's like a what's the state? Is it New Jersey where you can't pump your own gas?
Yeah,
there's two. One of them's New Jersey. Yeah,
I'm just imagining like you can't like rent your own Redbox movies. There's a guy at the Redbox who's like, all right, what do you want me to push?
It's the strong Redbox union there. Really, really made it happen. Have you guys ever had to get gas in New Jersey?
No,
I try not to go to New Jersey.
A very awkward we had to once, like I was about to run out of gas and we were in New Jersey. I was like, I guess we have no choice. It's just a very awkward situation. You have to sit in the car and like just sit there while the guy pumps your gas, and it's like, are you supposed to tip? Is a tip offensive? Like, I don't know. Anyhow,
if I told you guys the story of like my college roommate from New Jersey.
No.
Who, like, the first time we drove out around town in college and I had to stop for gas, he very sheepishly asked me if he could pump the gas for me because he'd never done it before.
What a precious little moment.
And I was just like, yeah, dude, of course, go for it. And he was so happy. It's like, I'm so glad I got to give you this experience.
That is like that's the purest thing I've heard all day, and I kind of love it. Like, why not?
Sure.
Oh, that's great.
Go for
it. That's great.
Oh, man.
It's like his weird gas rumspringa. I love it.
Mom and Dad, I'm never coming back to New Jersey.
Oh, boy. Where were we?
We're talking about a dog movie, guys.
Right.
So I guess we better just jump into it because we're just kind of killing time at this point.
No, we're talking about Redbox, which is always a good time.
Yeah.
Santa Stole My Dog.
Yes, Santa Stole My Dog. Thanks once again to the kind robots at Redbox for actually having this DVD. Anyway, Santa Stole Our Dog begins with the story of a man named Nathan who, when he was a child, conducted an experiment where Santa would come to his house and eat his cookies, and then Nathan would take the cookie with the bite out of it and put it in the freezer. I guess assuming that someday he was going to run that DNA to see if it was really Santa. This is the kind of person we're working with here.
I thought he was just stoked to have a cookie that Santa bit.
See, maybe, but
I think the kid was just a pervert. That's what we're getting at.
I mean, I just immediately clocked that like this kid was like trying to get evidence on Santa.
Yeah, maybe, but what was it? 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Present day? DNA hadn't really come into its own as like an evidential. Now I have to look this up.
See, maybe the kid was just really into like homicide life on the street or something. I don't know. Anyway, he's an adult now. He's got two kids of his own, son Tommy, daughter Susie. And Susie's still young enough to believe in Santa Claus to the point where Dad brings out the 30-year-old gross frozen cookie with a bite taken out of it. And the kids immediately suggest that they do this with the cookie. They take it to Mom's lab because Mom works in either a hospital or a forensic lab.
Mom is an obstetrician.
Obstetrician. Thank you.
The first case was in July of 1988 that somebody was convicted of murder through DNA evidence.
This was 2017, so it would have been 87 then.
So maybe you'd heard about it up and coming on the news. Okay, fine. Ooh, fair.
That's right there on the cusp of possibility.
Probably giving the writers too much credit.
Maybe.
I'm going to go with the kid's a pervert.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that too. Because if you see his modern day... No, I'm just kidding.
Jeez, you guys. So anyway, Mom and Dad are broken up because Dad is a giant man baby and Mom is Killjoy. We all agreed on this?
Yes, both.
Okay. And the kids convinced Dad to adopt a dog for them for Christmas. The film's titular dog that got stolen by Santa, Rusty. And Mom, immediately upon seeing the dog, Mom is like, we are not getting a dog. And my first thought was, what the hell do you care? You don't even live with him.
And my first thought was, damn, it would be nice if we had a dead mom alert. Jeez.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
I mean, it just sucks because, like, you know, she's just going to spend the entire movie being an asshole because the parent that's not there when they're not dead just spends the entire movie being a piece of shit, and then they get back together in the end anyway. That's just how movies work.
So if the mom were dead and dad gets the dog as a way to fill that hole in his children's heart, and then Santa steals the dog, then this becomes a John Wick situation. And,
yes,
and that, as those words tumbled out of my mouth, I immediately wanted to see that movie.
Jolly old St. Wick.
Now we're spending Christmas at the Continental. Now we're having a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow Eric Roberts is still in the movie.
Yeah, of course. I mean, why wouldn't he be? He's in everything. He's omnipresent. Hey, there's a Home Alone 2 reference for you. So dad is like a toy designer. He is trying to pitch toys to Eric Roberts, who is a toy executive. And the toy that he's pitching him is a stuffed dodo bird named Mr. Dodo. And his fantastic pitch is they're extinct, all except for Mr. Dodo.
And it's a cute enough toy, but Eric Roberts is kind of right. It's like, I mean, it's a stuffed animal. Like, you want me to... And, like, looking at the dad's, like, drawings and stuff, like, he clearly has, like, this is going to be, like, a franchise cartoon type thing.
Yeah, he's working on coloring books, cartoons.
Yeah, but he's starting with a licensed toy rather than starting with the product to license the toy from.
Right, like, he should have been, like, pitching the entire line from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
But this is just the first step. Like, obviously we're going to make stuffed animals, but we could do so much more with it.
But yeah, have like a breakfast cereal and a restaurant chain.
Maybe this is why mom hates dad so much, because he's also just a fucking idiot.
Yes.
He goes so all in on Mr. Dodo, he even made it his license plate. And vanity plates are going to not play a big role, but like vanity plates constantly appear in this film. And I wonder if was part of the film's budget.
Cool Mom was the other one.
Cool I Mom. I feel like there was a third one.
Cool Mom 42069.
X_CoolMom_X.
Can I tell you my favorite vanity plate?
Yes, please.
I only ever saw a photo of it, but it exists in my great state. In Virginia, in the Commonwealth, we have, you know, like they have the plates that are for different causes.
Yeah.
And one of them is like Kids First. I think it's like a kids education initiative. But the big feature of the plate is that Kids First is on the bottom of the plate. This is important. And that there are fingerprint handprints on the plate, and they are in red. This is also important. Somebody got a vanity plate that says eat the and it looks like there's a bloody handprint, and it says eat the Kids First. And I looked this up in the DOT or
the DOJ.
The DMV. Sorry?
The DOJ.
The DOJ. I looked this up in the DMV. I looked this up in the DMV system to see if it was still available, and unfortunately the plate has been retired due to complaints.
Oh, that's a shame.
I will also see if I can find a picture of that to put in the show notes.
So the main scene of the film happens where the kids are having Christmas Eve with dad. Santa arrives, played by Ed Asner himself, and he's putting the toys out around the tree. And Rusty wanders into Santa's bag, unbeknownst to Santa, and finds himself whisked away to the North Pole.
That's quite a Rusty venture.
Thank you.
So Santa only discovers that Rusty has been stowed away in the bag when he gets back to the North Pole, where we meet an entire gaggle of the worst Christmas elves I've ever seen.
This friggin' cast of characters. We gotta unpack this elf situation.
Okay.
Cause
yeah, Brad, go for it.
Usually we talk about the different ways that films approach elves here. Sometimes they'll use CGI. Sometimes they'll hire children. Sometimes they'll hire little people. And sometimes they'll have full adults and just kind of use movie magic to shrink them down to elf size. This movie says, why don't we go with 3 of 4 of those options?
What was the movie that had the elves that were basically just fucking minions?
The Christmas Chronicles.
Chronicles.
Thank you.
Yeah. Those were CG. I mean, obviously they were CGI. But anyways, we have children. we have adults that have been green screened down and had their voice pitched up. And we also have like a weird CGI elf that stands around almost practically T-posing. Like it's obviously clearly like one clip of a CGI elf that's just looping. He's like looking at his hand and then like looking down. It's inexplicable. And the only explanation it's very bad. All the CGI in this film is very bad, especially for something that came out in 2017. And the only thing I can rationalize and back me up here is this has got to be some producer or somebody on the film's kid who has like a 3D Studio Max license. And they were like, oh yeah, he can do the CGI. And then they sent this in and they don't have the heart to say no, so they put it in, but that's about it.
Is that right? Like contractually obligated not to say no, maybe, but basically yeah, the same story.
That might be it, because we have a couple of other really bad cases of CGI, like the reindeer and the snowman, and I think the car at the end of the film gets put in a couple scenes where it's very clearly like... It's practically a 3D Studio Max teapot with wheels on it.
There is definitely a scene where a minivan takes flight, yes. This is all achieved with just the barest minimum of crappy CGI.
The other weird thing about the elf situation is one of the elves, maybe the main elf, is one called Snowflake, I think?
Yes. Yes. Is it Snowflake?
And it's a very well endowed like supermodel who gets like blown up and shrunk down a couple of times during the film, and this is very clearly like maybe somebody's fetish. I don't know. Like there's something going on here that it's not above board, if you know what I mean. She's a producer on the film, but
yeah,
I don't know if she agreed to this.
Her IMDb page, you see her, like the four films that she's like known for on here. And you got Adam Sandler's Jack and Jill, Frost Nixon, something called Alien Encounter, and then Santa Stole Our Dog. She's in real movies, but all she's in stuff like this. And like her last like four or five movies have all been films by Brian Michael Bendis. What's his name? Brian Michael Stoller. Including, let's see here. This one is not by Stoller. This is just a film titled Adrenochrome.
Interesting that came out a couple years ago, though. Weird.
Yeah, it's fortuitous timing. Yes, very odd.
No, with the timing, it came out in 2017. It's more like I heard this movie on the news. We can get a couple of cheap clicks on the old whatever the fuck we uploaded this to. I don't know. Like this seems like some Tubi shit to me.
Yeah, like the dirty little secret of all these is they're not real movies. None of these are real movies. None of the things we've been talking about for the last month and a half have been real movies.
I mean, they exist in that, like, they are things that got filmed and are about an hour and a half long, but...
That's about it.
I mean, someone doing, like, a fucking speedrun on Twitch doesn't count as a movie, and it fits those criteria as well, so...
But yeah, Snowflake is just... It's just, like, on, like, the other side of creepy for me. Because, like, I get why she's here, because somebody on the production thought she was hot and said, hey, let's put her in a movie. That's fine.
And they got her to show up by making her a producer.
Yeah. But also, like, this is ostensibly, definitely a children's movie. So I don't know why she's the main elf.
It says the damn Dove Foundation stamp on it, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yes.
It does.
We haven't talked about that. Like, the last couple movies we've watched have all been Dove approved. And, I don't know what to make of any of that.
Hey, Dove Foundation, fuck you.
Whoa.
Go back to getting released whenever John Woo has a cool fight. That's all you're good for.
So Santa, realizing his mistake and having brought Rusty to the North Pole, he starts to like anguish to himself about how like children will never trust him again. And the actual line from Santa Claus in this children's movie is, what kind of monster have I become? And I got,
it doesn't turn out being a Krampus origin story. I'm sad.
Yeah, like, I got a good, long, hearty laugh out of that because it's just so ridiculous. Like, Santa just completely in mental anguish because he stole a dog. Ed Asner, you were too good for us.
Too good for this film, for certain.
But then the kids discovered that Rusty is gone. And the first thing out of Susie's mouth is, if Rusty doesn't get his medicine, he could get really sick. Oh, shit, y'all. These are actual stakes.
They're soon forgotten.
Don't worry, they'll go away really quick.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to matter. But, like, the movie at least goes through the, none of this is real. But the movie at least goes to the step of, like, movies are supposed to have stakes, right? We don't have to follow through with them as long as we establish them. That's what matters.
Yes.
And then Dad says, oh, poor Rusty. And then we get to Brad's smash cut to this huge elf party for Rusty, where the elves are making, like, those awful pizzas with melted candy canes on them and shit. And
it looks so bad. But it's still got cheese. Like, it's very clearly a real pizza.
Like,
so gross.
It's, yeah, and like, there's, like, music beyond, like, playing. Buddy the Elf pizza into, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen Gimme Pizza pizza.
Yes, exactly. I don't know this Gimme Pizza. What's Gimme Pizza?
Oh, God. We're now going to leak the show notes. So, you know how Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen did about 9 billion direct-to-TV videos?
Yeah.
Or direct-to-video shows and shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, one of them is, like, a sleepover. It includes a scene where they order a plain cheese pizza. This is before that was, like, totally, code words for buying and selling children. and they just put, like, a bunch of, like, candy and marshmallows and all kinds of random shit on it. While singing a song that goes, like, Gimme Pizza, which is already a really weird, like, jarring, discordant song to begin with. But then the version I'm going to show you is it, like, pitched down very low, so it's just like, Gimme Pizza.
Please do send it. hell yeah.
I know what songs I did this episode. Sort of.
I'm all about that cosmic horror.
So yeah, Dad and the kids decide to go to fly off to Grandma's house so that they can eventually get to the North Pole and get their dog back. And where does Grandma live?
She lives in the Yukon.
And where is the North Pole?
Russia? Like Soviet Russia?
Well, according to this movie, it is.
And then where do they go from the Yukon?
I hate this so much. Well, they drive through suburban what I can only assume is Anchorage. It's probably Anchorage. They just drive through a suburb the entire time.
Yeah.
Fully paved. No problem. Trees everywhere, lights everywhere. No. They land in the Yukon. They borrow Mom's car. They drive through to Alaska. And then they drive through to Russia to get to the North Pole. I'll repeat that.
Repeat that, please, because it's
important. They land in the Yukon in Canada. They drive to Alaska. Sure. Why not? Yep. Then they drive to Russia to drive to the North Pole. All fully paved, mind you, with houses in the background and street lamps.
Yep.
As one does.
As one
in
does.
In Alaska.
All the
and
time.
The Yukon. So this film is very confused about its geography, or they realize that kids don't care, so who cares?
Yeah.
Kids don't know these things, so who cares?
So
it's
I'm
really
looking at
the real answer.
Poster for this movie right now.
Okay.
And I want you two to go look at it with me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. All right. So we have Ed Asner Santa and the dog are very clearly like that kind of like movie poster painting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then they just pasted on Mrs. Claus and the family and Leroy/Elroy are just like pasted on like straight up like just cut and paste from the movie.
Oh, man. I didn't even notice Leroy sitting there and. Before.
And then there's that fucking snowman again.
A clip art snowman.
Clip art snowman. And then a, like, bad CGI version of the dodo that shows up nowhere in the movie.
That's, like, the highest quality render in the entire poster.
That must have been some kind of like production art or something that they had lying around. Because, yeah, that exists nowhere in the film.
Like, they took like a pretty decent, like, kind of like movie poster ass painting of Ed Asner and the dog and just pasted a bunch of trash over it.
They really did.
Oh, no, I noticed the very poorly photoshopped in Mrs. Claus. Like, that's probably the clearest poster sin, other than maybe the fonts. But we'll not get into that.
The fonts are a bit much, yeah. But see, yeah, this poster is the best thing about the film, because the actual like painting poster is fine. The movie does not reflect that, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Rusty looks like a friggin' werewolf. It's great.
He does.
He looks like he's about to wise from his grave.
I love it. We actually missed a couple of important beats here, because
I'd argue that we didn't, but go ahead.
So the whole reason that the kids know that Santa 100% did steal the dog is because they see a fake news report planted by Santa starring Snowflake that explains that they, you know, caught footage of Santa in the night sky with a picture of Rusty in Santa's sleigh. And Santa broadcasts this out because he doesn't know whose dog he stole. Which right there, I will go ahead and say, as far as like Santa Claus goes, I think that's BS. Santa Claus definitely knows whose dog he stole.
Right? This is a man who delivers presents and knows exactly who's naughty and nice. Knows exactly what they want. Remembers everybody. He would remember whose dog it is. Right?
The only thing I can think of is that the dog is so new, he hasn't had time to learn it yet.
His omnipotence hasn't caught up to it yet.
Yeah, the DNS hasn't propagated to the North Pole yet.
Exactly.
There's also a really dumb 2-minute subplot where he thinks it's from Japan.
Yeah, so he sends his elves to search all over Japan.
And then we get treated to a very bad jingle. Is it Jingle Bells? It's some Christmas song where they use a really bad...
A bad song in this movie? Please be more specific.
I know. No, they use like a Japanese sound font. It's very bad. It's very, very bad. Don't do this.
And also in this, we cut back to the family who definitely misses the dog and they're very sad.
I'm hacking it. Oh, I'm receiving a signal. We're being hacked. What is it? What's going on? Jonathan, status report.
I'm going to go play Mahjong for about 10 minutes.
Bradford is currently being attacked by radio waves. Brad, what's going on over there, buddy?
Got to get my tinfoil out.
Hello, and welcome to another fantabulous episode of the OST Party. This is a podcast where movie fans and music fans have a rocking good time talking about all your favorite movie soundtracks. My name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight is my lovely and belligerent co-host, Libby Cudmore. Libby, what is shaking?
Why have you done this to me?
Oh, you know, that thing that you did last week. I had to pay you back somehow.
That's fair. That's
you
fair.
Know what you did.
I know. So, I regret nothing.
No regrets. Let's get this party started. So this week on the show, we're doing things a little bit differently. We are going to be discussing a song from a Christmas movie that we just watched. This is the only song on the album. It's very strange. But the film tonight, is Santa Stole Our Dog from 2017, which is a film that we kind of dug up recently with the passing of Ed Asner. And he's in it. He plays Santa Claus. We thought, well, there's got to be something to this. But also, there's a very famous like celebrity cameo on the soundtrack.
Yeah. Somehow, some way, this movie, Santa Stole Our Dog, got Dolly Parton. They got a Dolly Parton song. How? I have so many questions.
All I can tell you is I know for a fact this movie cost somehow $3 million, so they had money to play with. But the song itself is a little bit baffling because I don't think she wrote this for the movie.
So, no, this is from her 2011 album, Better Day. I'm glad she didn't write this for the movie. I'd be very sad if she did.
Yeah, that would have been strange.
Yeah.
Now, first things first, let's go ahead and play a clip of the song.
Somebody's missing you, longs to be kissing you. You'd better listen, you mean all the world to me. You're on somebody's mind. Just
now, Dolly Parton saved humanity. She gave us the COVID vaccine, and this is how we repay her?
Listen, I got my third COVID vaccine today. I can only do so much.
But I'm going to take a guess. Now, I didn't watch this movie, so I'm going to guess, tell me if I'm right, that this song played during a montage of the kid and the dog looking out the window, like towards each other.
Oh, you are so close. I hate that you're so close, because you didn't even have to watch the movie. I watched the movie. It's a montage. So the dog has been stolen by Santa, quote unquote stolen, because he didn't really steal him. The dog wanders into Santa's bag and he makes off to the North Pole,
just like Will Ferrell in Elf,
starring Ed Asner.
Yeah, he's in the Santa Claus Hall of Fame for all the times he's played Santa.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and he's definitely earned it.
Oh yeah,
but you're right, there is a montage. It's the family sitting around like a little fire pit in their backyard, and they're all sad, and they're just throwing like rocks and stuff into the fire pit. And the song is playing while they're you know, being sad and thinking about the dog. And then it cuts to the dog, and the dog is like they're throwing a party at the North Pole for this dog.
Okay.
Like where like the Santa's elves are like making him pizzas with like candy canes on it and just, ugh, it's gross, but like they're having like it's like a real party vibe, and the dog is just like blank face, just staring at all the stuff going on around him, and it keeps cutting back and forth between that and the family being sad. Meanwhile, Dolly Parton is singing "Somebody's Missing You."
No, this song really did like make me cry. It's so sweet, and in the hands of anyone else, it would just be like saccharine garbage. But she's Dolly Parton, and she's just got that. Her voice is so sweet and sincere, and her music is so delicate.
Yeah,
it's like, oh.
It lends the scene more emotion than it deserves.
Absolutely. Like, this is just, like, it's making me mad that it's in a scene where some elves make a candy cane pizza for a dog. Like, that's actually making me angry.
But, like, the thing that I noticed that was weird about this was that the lyrics that you hear in the film do not match the lyrics on the album cut of the song.
Really?
And that can only mean one of like two things. Either they licensed a demo or like an alternate cut of the song that was like, because the original song is like, it's a romantic song. It's about missing somebody that you love, uh-huh. like a significant other. But they use it in a movie about a dog. So where the lyrics are like, you know, somebody's missing you, wishing they could be kissing you. They changed the lyrics slightly so that it's not a song about kissing a dog.
I don't know anyone who has a dog that doesn't kiss their dog, so.
Yeah, I know, but to not have a song accidentally about a romantic relationship with a dog, I'm fine with that.
What is the lyric?
The lyric is, somebody's missing you, wishing you were beside me too.
Okay, that's not as good. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's just not.
No. Now, I like to think that she is singing about a person who had her boyfriend before her, or her significant other, because we're all the one who got away to somebody. We're all somebody's secret crush. And I think like recognizing that is a very deep and melancholy thought. That was my read on the song.
I can second picture that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like somebody's missing you. Like, even though you're here with me, there's somebody who you're not with. And maybe you haven't thought about that person in 30 years, but...
Oh, so this is like a 30 years later sequel to Jolene.
Yeah, take that, Jolene.
Ooh.
No.
That's
everything pretty... comes back to Jolene, honestly. Like, every Dolly Parton song is loosely linked to Jolene.
Like the Jolene cinematic universe, yeah.
Exactly.
But... So, like, my theories are, like, they either got a demo or an alternate cut of the song, and it was probably cheaper to get, or the crazier theory, which makes me think that this is actually true, is they hired Dolly to just re-record a less romantic version of the song.
She would do that because she's a good person.
I mean, she probably would, but it just seems crazy to me to do that for a movie like this.
Well, yeah, you know? But Dolly's a good person, so.
Of course she is. I mean, she's the best of us.
She saved humanity. So I don't know.
It is a baffling choice in a film filled with baffling choices.
I can only imagine. Now, I actually have a Dolly Parton Christmas story.
Really?
I'm going to blow the lid off this. So be prepared if you don't want something really ruined for you. So for a couple of years now, my town has had the honor of sending a tree down to Rockefeller Center to be the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, including in 2020. So if you saw that little owl that they found, that was our owl, the little Rockefeller owl. So in 2016, when I went down, when I was still working for the paper, I was sent down to cover it because it was our tree. And I went down and I was so excited because there were going to be performances by Tony Bennett, by Sarah McLachlan, and by Dolly Parton. I thought, I'm going to get to see Dolly Parton. She's a legend. And so we're there. We're in the press boxes. My husband and I are separated. So I'm singing, you know, Someone's Missing You to him because he's, you know, across the square. Mm-hmm. And I can't be with him and I can't leave the press box. And Al Roker is there and Hoda and everybody. It's 52 degrees. It is misting. It is deeply unpleasant. And so they have the big screens and Dolly Parton comes on the screen to sing like a sequel to Coat of Many Colors for one of her made-for-TV Christmas movies. And then Al Roker has the nerve to turn to the cameras and say, like, isn't she great? You know, all these performers are out here in the cold, you know, singing so that we could all have a nice Christmas or whatever bullshit he says. She was not there. It was pre-recorded. I did not get to see Dolly Parton live. It broke my heart.
Oh,
and then
my
Al Roker came and lied to the good people. You know who was there? Fucking Pentatonix.
Oh, no.
They were live. They could come out.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not mad at Dolly Parton. I don't want anyone to think I'm mad at Dolly Parton. I'm mad at Al Roker for lying to us, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Dolly's got better things to do than be introduced by Al Roker.
I guess. But, like, again, she gave her all and she sang beautifully and she just wasn't there. And I was so mad because I wanted to bask in her presence and absorb some of her light.
Somebody's missing Dolly Parton.
I was missing Dolly Parton. I was so sad. So I feel like Dolly Parton should listen to this and come to my house.
She totally should.
Yeah.
I feel like she would.
She would. If she heard this, she'd be like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to disappoint you. And she'd come to my house and sing Jolene.
Yeah.
She'd probably do that. Dolly Parton, honestly, is the closest thing that, like, non-Catholics have to a saint.
Yeah, like, Dolly for president.
Yeah, she's perfect. I love her. She's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sorry she's in this, and I'm sorry that I have to expose Al Roker for being a liar, a dirty liar in front of everybody.
You know, what you gonna do? Mm-hmm. All I can say is, like, I'm sorry we found a movie with a Dolly Parton song in it for us to discuss on this show.
I'm going to tell the truth.
I'm sorry it had to be under these circumstances.
I'm going to expose Al Roker and the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree for the sham that it is.
We've just made another mortal enemy. Michael Bublé, you're off our shit list. Al Roker, it's game on. That's the OST party, folks. We're going to cut and run because this has been a real short episode. But yeah, I'm Joseph Wade.
And I'm Libby Cudmore.
Buy the ticket.
Take the ride.
Brad, you okay over there, buddy?
I blacked out there for a second. I'm not sure what was going on.
Well, that was weird. Anyway, they go to North Pole, Alaska, which is where Nathan's mom's car breaks down, like you do. And they meet...
As one does.
And they go to a diner, and they meet, somehow, inexplicably, one of Santa's elves, named Elroy, or Leroy, depending on who you ask. And this is definitely one of... This is of the child actor portraying a 300-year-old elf man variety.
Oh, the anime route.
The anime slash Tim Allen Santa Claus route, yes.
Yes.
And Elroy explains that he is the elf that is in charge of all of the letters to Santa Claus. They also pick up a grifter in a Santa Claus costume named Kyle, who saves Susie from
you
getting hit by a car.
You glossed over one of the most buck wild parts of this movie.
I'm trying to end this travesty, but please.
Oh, come on. You got to talk about this.
Okay.
Leroy presents Nathan with a pair of VR goggles, but he says they're not virtual reality goggles. They're reality goggles. And then we cut to Nathan living in his past as a child. And then Ed Asner shows up as Santa and explains that he can time travel and he's having a crisis of Santa faith in the present. And he gives him a snowflake charm and says, here, you'll need this. Keep believing. And then we cut back to the present and Nathan has the snowflake charm.
A snowflake charm that Santa got off of Snowflake at one of the elf office Christmas parties.
Rawr. So there's that little piece of
insanity. It's good to know that I'm not the only person derealizing right now.
And it has absolutely nothing to do with the plot whatsoever, because Nathan still doesn't really believe Leroy until he goes tiny. But anyways, please go back to Kyle.
So yeah, in the course of all of this, they wind up picking up a grifter named Kyle who has stolen the car and stolen all the contents of the car. The police catch up with Kyle, and then Kyle rescues Susie from getting hit by a car. So they take him with them to the North Pole.
See, he stole the passports, but he ended up stealing our hearts.
Yes. And it was at this point that I wrote in my notes, oh, this is like a shitty Wizard of Oz. And boy, oh boy, did I turn out to be right.
Yeah, you were super right.
Because so at this point, yeah, then this is when they cross the border into Russia. And I noticed like the Russian Border Patrol guard is wearing like a hat with the hammer and sickle logo emblem on it.
As one does.
As one does in 2017.
He's like one of those holdouts at an island that still thinks it's the cold, but he still thinks it's the Cold War and he's in the Aleutians. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
So anyway, the brakes go out on the car and they fly off a cliff, and Elroy, using his Christmas magic, makes the car fly to the North Pole. Fast, easy, done.
As one does.
Then we cut to Mom back at home, who decides to just on a lark run the DNA sample from the cookie, from Nathan's gross-ass 30-year-old cookie, and finds that it has equal traces of all races on Earth and is also 1,000 years old.
As one does.
Santa is, in fact, pan-racial. And you know what? I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like Ed Asner. Like, okay, whatever. But he represents all the children of the world. And that's pretty cool. I'm fine with that. Where was I?
Goodness gracious. Who knows, man? We were talking about the bad, bad sense of direction that this movie has. We show up at the elf house. We show up at Santa's house, and we're greeted by more bad CGI and Mrs. Claus. And it turns out that Santa has gone to send the dog back already. Whoops, you're too late. So that now this dog doesn't appear in any of these scenes.
Isn't it great how like the whole movie's about the dog, but even then the dog only appears in like 10 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
We were just praising this film for having more dog than the other dog movie, but
I mean, it does, but
it does.
I think we can't understate how little dog the last movie had.
So like Annie Port in a Storm, basically, is like, this movie has some dog. That's enough dog for us.
Really, we should have watched the next Puppy Star Christmas for this, if we really wanted to get our dollars worth of dog, so to speak.
Is there another Puppy Star Christmas?
No, there isn't. I don't think. Yeah.
You see, and then a finger on the monkey's paw just curls.
I get 3 wishes and I just used one of them. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Tackety, tackety, tack. I wish for Puppy Star Christmas 2.
Somebody out there wishes for it, I'm sure, in earnest. Some four-year-old out there wishes for it in earnest.
So Santa returns to the North Pole with Rusty. And they have a great little reunion. And then Kyle tells Susie this. I don't even want to talk about the horrible sob story because it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb and it doesn't even have a point, really, because they kind of hint at a Santa Claus situation where somebody's going to take up the mantle to be the next Santa. And they kind of play up that it's supposed to be Kyle, but that doesn't happen.
No, Kyle tells this sob story to Susie about how he saved a family from a burning house fire and got horrible scars all over his body, which is apparently why he wears his Santa suit.
But because he lives in Canada where they actually have health care, like, he has some scars, but otherwise he's okay.
Yeah, and I was fully expecting, like, a turn where he would, like, go full
Joker.
I thought
they picked up Kyle in Alaska.
They did,
they
but he's
picked him up North
but he's
Pole,
with them
Alaska.
At the North Pole.
Yeah, but they picked him up in Alaska. But anyways, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter where they picked him up.
I mean, he hopped the border for healthcare.
Okay, that's what fair enough.
Then Santa comes in and drops a truth bomb on Susie. This is the moment where the film like turned for me, and I thought, oh no, we're in for a whole other act that I was not prepared for.
We're doing this now, huh?
Where Santa informs Susie that if global warming does not stop at the current pace that it is rampaging across this planet, his workshop and the entirety of the North Pole will sink into the sea and Christmas will be ruined forever. This is a lot to put on a seven-year-old.
Yes, it is.
And you can kind of see it on Susie's face. She doesn't really know how to process this information.
Santa stole her dog.
Santa right. already stole her dog.
Her day, her punt, her. She's already used all her spoons. Her day is full. She doesn't need this.
She is responsible for the one actual joke in the movie that I liked.
Okay.
What was that?
When they're at the diner with Leroy/Elroy, he brings out a big inflatable globe, and while they're pointing at it, her face is just mashed up against the side of it through the back of it.
You liked that?
It's a good visual gag.
All right.
That was the point for me where I realized this film does not give a shit. It knows how dumb it is, and it's just going to roll with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like,
you said you laughed at one other thing. I need to know what it is. Because yeah. I was a curmudgeon. I didn't laugh at anything.
The other thing was Leroy/Elroy of the credits made me laugh.
Oh, okay. All right.
But then after Santa tells Susie, like, her mission is to go back home and warn people about global warming, then they straight up do the Wizard of Oz ending, where Santa bequeaths a medal to each and every person in the workshop.
Because why not?
It's like, for your bravery in doing this, you get a medal that says, good boy. And for your bravery in doing that, you get a medal that says, good girl. And he gives Kyle...
It would have been fun if they tied it in with, like, a dog thing, but they didn't.
I know! Like, it... The dog... Because... Yeah.
Good boy, that's what you say. It's a dog thing. Anyhow.
And just like Chewbacca, the dog doesn't even get a medal, does he?
No.
Of course not. He's a dumb dog anyway.
Thank you.
What, John?
I said the dog's at home anyway. The dog's with the mom now.
Yeah, the dog got written out of the picture.
But I thought he brought the dog with him back to the North Pole.
No, he left the dog with the mom.
Well, yeah. Then I'm a big dumb idiot because I thought the whole point was that he brought the dog back to have a reunion with the family.
Nope.
Wow. I think I was more entranced at the fact that they were doing the Wizard of Oz ending than anything else. I did not even notice or care if the dog was not here.
Yeah. No, they conveniently wrote the dog out of the scene.
That is incredible. Also, I was far too invested in the sighting of Elvis to even notice that the dog wasn't there.
I'm sad that they called him out. He appeared in the earlier scene at the Nightmare Pizza party, and I hope they would just not mention it at all. Just have this elf dressed like Elvis just be an Elvis joke just be in one scene and that's it. But no, they had to have him called out.
Now see, I didn't even realize it was like a previous gag. That was that scene at the end of the movie, that was the first time I saw him.
No, he was there in like the fever dream.
Okay. Well, that plus I didn't make the connection that he was Elvis until one of you said it, and I just thought it was like, hey, the movie just randomly put Elvis in the movie. Oh, I'm so depressed.
I'm so tired.
I'm so tired of all of these things. And the button at the end of the film, Santa proclaims Kyle the official Santa of bad kids everywhere, which is kind of
Krampus.
He's the official Krampus. Kyle gets to snatch away bad children in the middle of the night. Good for him.
He's the anti-Santa.
Well, he's a kleptomaniac, so
mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
He's going to steal every kid that's not nailed down. Wow, that landed with a thud. Anyway. But yeah, that's Santa Stole Our Dog, everybody. A film that definitely has Ed Asner in it.
Definitely exists.
I can't say it's a real movie. I can't say it's a good movie. But I will say it's the best thing we've watched in at least 3 episodes.
For sure.
Because, man oh man, this is still some super weak sauce, but at least they understand that.
Can we watch like a real actual ass movie next time, please?
I'm fine with that, as long as like no other celebrities die and we have to like pivot and do a tribute episode, because I'm sure they would not appreciate these tributes that we're doing, because good lord.
No, Ed Asner was doing his best. He was punching his card, he was doing his work, he was getting his paycheck. I have no animus against him. He's the best actor in this film, bar none.
Oh yeah, like he at least sells his like minor crisis of faith in the film. Yeah, that's fine with
so
me.
I have a question.
No, this is no tree, no shade, no pink lemonade against Ed Asner here.
Why did it become a thing where like we interpret ho 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 as Santa screaming ho ho ho, rather than just doing like a jolly fat guy laugh, like a ho ho ho, which is what it's supposed to fucking be? Like, what? When did that happen?
A Christmas Story? No, I don't know.
It definitely had to happen at some point where somebody thought they were being clever when they wrote it, and then some idiot read it phonetically, and now we have it, and we're stuck with it forever.
Yeah, right?
You know? That's why Santa Claus is spelled with an E now, because people don't understand things.
Fuck you, Tim Allen.
Hey, let's end this dog and pony show and go to the crankometer, shall we?
Yes.
The crankometer, for the uninitiated, is our patented XY axis for how to rate these Christmas movies. The X axis is the Christmosity scale, how Christmassy a film is, and the Y axis is the quality quotient, how good the film is. So, general friends, Santa Stole Our Dog. X axis?
It goes out of its way to like invent a lot of weird like Christmas like quasi lore, just for the sake of like putting the crappy CGI in it, basically.
It's pretty Christmassy. Maybe I'll give it a 2.
Yeah, I was thinking a 2 as well. Like, it doesn't go overboard with it, and it doesn't really misuse any of it. It's just kind of like you gotta have Christmas and Santa and all that stuff.
It doesn't for better and for worse. It doesn't try to like reinvent the wheel with Christmas. It's just like goes with the stuff you want. It's just all of the weird shit in it just seems to be like because we had the CGI lying around. Why is there a talking snowman? Because someone made us a CGI talking snowman, so now he's at the North Pole. Deal with it.
Why is there a flossing elf in the story? Because some kid wanted to animate a flossing elf. It just happens.
Flossing would require like way more frames of animation than an elf had.
Yeah.
Like that would require like double digits.
Yeah, these CGI, all the CGI in this film is like single digit frame rates, and it's very jarring.
And again, it's sub really 3D.
You know when you're playing Monster Hunter and there's a minor monster off in the distance, it's like some weird skinny dragon that shoots poison at you and is really annoying, and it's like flapping its wings and it's maybe like 4 frames per second. Imagine that, but for all of the CGI in the middle of the movie, and you're about right.
An important thing about Monster Hunter is it has a tie-in with Final Fantasy 14 Online.
There it is.
There it is. We almost made it through the entire episode with John talking about it.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. Did you mean to not invite me on this episode? I mean, you know what you're fucking getting into.
I know.
Every day of my life, John.
Okay,
so two? I think, yeah, two sounds perfectly fine. Now, y-axis, there's no way this is getting a positive.
Why?
Well, why, let me put it this way. On a whim the other day, I watched the Christmas episode of Night Court, and it was really good. This is way worse than that.
On a numerical scale, what number constitutes way worse than the Christmas episode of Night Court?
I mean, it's the best thing we've watched in a while. Maybe I'll give it a -3. For reference, I'd put Night Court at maybe like a 3. So it's the anti-Night Court.
I mean, that would be fine with...
I just break John.
All you had to do was say the words Night Court. Who knew? Who knew that was John's kill code?
I've ruined John.
Yeah.
John, are you there? Are you still breathing? Yeah.
A 2-3 is fine with me because like the last 3 episodes have been getting progressively better, and maybe we'll actually watch a good film next time. So yeah, friends, plotted on your chart, +2, -3 on the crankometer. That is Santa Stole Our Dog.
If you're still listening to this, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Bless you. And we have a special treat for anyone who is still currently listening. Bradford mentioned this in our back channel, and we want to try and get a little bit more engagement going on with you fine listeners. So we are going to open up our Discord channel to any enterprising listeners out there. And we are going to put the link to our Discord in the show notes. So hopefully only people who listen to the show and read the show notes will see the link to our Discord channel.
If you remember, we tweeted it out on Twitter. That was a really bad decision.
That was a horrible mistake, and we'll never do that again. So
that
we're
super bad.
Bringing it direct to you, the listener. If you're looking at your iPhone, you can click on it right now. But, you know, come to our Discord. We talk about all kinds of weird stuff, not even related to Christmas. I mean,
we have a whole channel for video game chat. We talk about weird internet stuff in one channel, and then we've just got like a general. We can open up some more stuff if people want to chat about cooking or sports.
We could totally open up a holiday foods channel. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, John, are you
still there? Did I murder John?
I think he just powered down for a moment.
I'm here.
His circuit's overloaded.
He's like so.
He's operating in safe mode right now.
Why the fuck is there a Christmas episode of Night Court?
It's the second episode
of
the first
season. Why the fuck is there a show about court but at night?
Because it was 1984 and cocaine was king. Have you seen Night Court?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I'm still baffled by its existence. It's a show where the premise is it's court but at night and the judge is a magician.
Yep.
Well, folks, I think we know what our next stocking stuffer is going to be.
Oh, thank
you.
I was hoping. If you want to get in touch with us, our email. What is our email?
It's xmascreeps@gmail.com.
We'd really appreciate a review and telling anybody that you think might enjoy this. But most of all, we just appreciate you listening. Thank you so much.
Leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Amazon Music or Google or Stitcher or Podchaser or YouTube, wherever you listen. Tell us how we're doing. We'd like to hear from you.
How's my driving?
Well, friends, we are in, as they call them, the cold months. And I am looking forward to getting some warmer beverages up in this piece and watching some real movies soon. The holidays are right around the corner and I can't wait. So for Christmas Creeps, I'm Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
And I'm John Larroquette from Night Court.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.